Book of Job, chapter number 42 and verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. They gave him that earring to give to his wife too. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 15, and in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. Now look at here in the last two verses. This is where I'm going to get my title and my thought, and then we're going to look back. My title today is After This. Verse 16 says, after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, and I underline this, being old and full of days. I want to preach a little bit on after this. I want to look at the after part of that, and what does the this part of that mean? I believe this is in reference to when God turned his captivity and all the trials that Job went through. I'm glad, thank God, that there's life and blessing even after we go through tribulation. After this, Job got blessed double. Job gained twice as much as he had before. And I hope to encourage us as the people of God to see that even after we go through heartaches and storms, that life can be better after than it was before. I'm not talking about the health and wealth like the PTL, but I am talking about scriptural blessings from the Lord. So let's turn back here to the Job chapter 1. And what I'm going to do is just kind of walk us through the life of Job. And I want to look at after this. After what, preacher? What are you talking about? Well, we're going to look at this. What is this referring to? I want to give you a little introduction to Job. I looked up the word Job, and his name means to be persecuted. The book of Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. And we don't know the exact time of the book of Job when the events were in Job's life and when he lived. But I do believe it was written after the flood because of Job 22, 15 through 16. I won't take time to read that. We also know that it was written before the Mosaic Law because in Job 1:5, and I'll get to that in one of my points, he offered sacrifices himself. He didn't go to the temple or to a tabernacle. Job also contained some amazing revelations and insight. He knew about the Savior, the resurrection, the judgment, and many other Bible truths. So as we look at here about the life of Job, I want to look first of all at the heavenly proposal. Job chapter 1 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? I want to look at the heavenly proposal from God to Satan. See, I think about when Peter was sifted in the New Testament, God said, Peter said, Satan had desired to sift you and he wanted to sift you out. But here we see God making an offer to Satan about sifting Job. Those God is holy and righteous and above all, there are conversations between God and Satan, and here's a record of one here. He said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Now, what would make God offer one of his people to be handled for a while and ridiculed and tormented by Satan? You say, preacher, why would a loving God do that? Well, let me say this. Trials come to Christians, I believe, for one of two reasons. Number one, we have trials and persecutions in our life because of chastisement. God will bring things to our life and allow Satan, the world, people around us, ever how God sees fit to chastise us. But another thing that God allows trials to come for is to teach us to trust more in God and bring glory to God's name. And I believe that this is what Job was suffering for, because the Bible said in chapter 1 of verse 1, verse 1 of chapter 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. He feared the Lord and he hated, he eschewed evil. So Job didn't go through this, Brother Duke, for God to chastise him. He was going through it, I believe, to show Satan some things, number one. I tell you what, Satan, though he's a powerful being, he is a created being, and I'm telling you, he can't understand how the saints can go through things they do and still come in singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. He can't understand when the bottom falls out in your life and things get tight that you keep putting a tenth in the offering plate. He says, what's wrong? I can't get it. I can't understand it. He can't understand when things go wrong that we keep coming to the house of God, keep reading our Bible, keep praying, keep witnessing to people. He can't understand all that stuff. And I think God's wanting to show Satan some things here. He said, you consider Job. That's kind of fearful. I wonder some things I've been through before in my life personally. Has the Lord not ever said, have you considered Chad Johnson over there? I'll tell you, when the Lord asks Satan and he considers us, we need to be in a shape spiritually that we can go through that storm and trial in the right way. And that's what Job did. Job is a great example of that. Job was a man in verse 2 and 3, I won't read those, who had been greatly blessed by God materially. He was the richest man in all the land, I believe. Job was a devout man. Look at verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, talking about his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And thus did Job continually. Job was a righteous and godly man who cared about his family. He got up early and offered sacrifice and said, Lord, in case they've sinned. And I notice, I believe in the context, best I can tell, Brother Jim, that they were all gone from home already. Or a lot of them, they were married and already gone. And I tell you, parents, we ought to pray that even when our children leave our home, that they live a godly life if they're saved, and that they raise their family, offer some sacrifices, though we won't kill an offering, but we can offer the sacrifice of prayer to God for our children. Job was a good man. And God said, have you considered him to Satan? Number two, Job served God not for what he could get out of it, but just because he was God. Satan had a false view of Job's motive for service. Look in verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught? He said, look here, God, this is why he fears you. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. See, Satan looked there at Job and he said, the only reason Job is serving you, said, I could serve, or you know, anybody could serve you if you gave them all these cattle, all these sheep, gave them all these beautiful daughters and these sons and all this wealth. I tell you what, anybody could serve. He said, just let me take all that from him and he'll curse you to your face. I won't say that we don't serve the Lord and love him because of what he's done for us, but we ought to love him and serve him for who he is and what he did for us in salvation through Christ Jesus. Satan, see, he's so wicked and vile, he's thought the only reason Job loved God is because of those blessings. So he said, all right, Satan, you can have those, but you can't touch his life. So Satan was allowed to start taking these things from Job. Job had a great loss, And it was there in verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the ass is feeding beside them. And he goes on down just laying out as he starts losing all of his possessions. Then word comes that he's lost his children. I tell you, I can't imagine, Brother Jim, losing one of my children. But word comes, say they're all dead. And I imagine old Satan was sitting back and he was laughing. He said, listen, Lord. No, he wouldn't call him Lord. Listen, God. Listen, he's fixing to curse you to your face. I told you, didn't I? This might be the only time, but I'm right and you're wrong. But look what Job said in verse 20. After all the news came, verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle. That's his garment, I believe. That was a sign in the Bible when they were under great anguish. They would rip their garment and they'd shave their head, and he fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I tell you, I'd like to see the look on Satan's face when he said, all right, he's getting ready to curse you. Job jumps up, rips his mantle, he shaves his head, he falls down to the ground. But I tell you, I like it that he fell down, but he worshiped when he went down. I won't say wherever our trials drive us to, it might drive us to despair almost, it might drive us to our knees, it ought to drive us to our knees, but wherever it drives us, we ought to drive us to worship God. Keep worshiping Him. And he said, the Lord's given all this, and the Lord's took it all away. Blessed be His name. And Job just laid there before the Lord, and Satan went away scratching his head. He couldn't understand that. He couldn't understand a peace that passeth all understanding. That was consistent Job and the baffled enemy. It baffled old Satan. He had to go back to the drawing board and say, we're going to try something else. He's going to cuss God. He's going to curse Him. See, Job was not sovereign as God is, and he did not have the privilege to see that there would be life after the trial. See, I'm sure Job, when you look in Job 42, where we read there, after this, but I tell you what, sometimes just the thought of what's happening after we get through it, it's awful hard to see those things when you're right in the middle of a storm and a trial. But Job, he kept his faith. He kept the faith. He didn't sin or charge God foolishly. Amen. Then we see Satan is allowed to touch the flesh of God's servant. Job chapter 2 and verse 4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. You take a multimillionaire today who's dying with cancer and they say you've got 5 days left. They would clean the bank account out, the CDs, the 401ks, and sell it all if they could get healed. A man will give all for his health. He said, but put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Satan was allowed to do anything to Job short of killing him. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is thine, but save his life. Verse 7, So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Job had boils, raw open wounds from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. I mean, can you see Job? His body was aching with pain and he was just in terrible shape. I can imagine the oozing of the infection coming out of him. He was in terrible shape. What'd Job do? And he took a pot shred to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Job took that thing and began to scrape off those boils and rub those ashes on there. That was a way of cleansing and also a pain reliever of that day. He would use ashes on that. And I mean, here's the great man of God who's perfect and upright, and now he's down with a pot shred, scratching the boils and rolling in the ashes, trying to get some relief. And Satan's so happy. Satan's thinking, he's going to curse God now. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. The woman, the person who ought to have been his biggest supporter and help, man, he's feeling low now. She's even telling him, just curse God and die and get out of it, Job. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall not we receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his, with his lips. Job was betrayed by his wife. He was allowed to be touched by Satan on his physical body. And Job had reached the lowest point of his trial. And I can imagine, as Job was struggling and hurting and in terrible pain, Satan was said, Now, Lord, said, let's see what Job's got to say now. But in all this, Job sinned not. And I'm sure Satan said, Now, what am I going to do next? I've took all he's got financially. I've took everything physical, and now his health is gone. But the Lord blessed Job, and he didn't charge God foolishly, and he kept praising the Lord and living for God. And that's what we ought to do as we go through trials and troubles. God help us to do that. Job chapter 23. Let's just keep on going through the life of Job. I want to look at when God seems to abandon us. Now, I'm sure not on any pictures of Jesus. I don't want any of that junk up. Well, even if we had a picture of Him, the Bible says not to put nothing up like that in our house. But these sodomite-looking pictures that Catholicism put out, that's not Jesus. Like Brother Duke said, I never thought of it. That might be what the Antichrist will look like, because that's what everybody's expecting Him to look like. But anyway, when God seems to abandon us, you've all probably seen that picture called Footprints in the Sand. I think we've all seen that, and it's okay, best I can remember. But the main thing I'm thinking of on that, the writer of that poem said, Lord, in the hardest times of my life, when I figured You'd be right there with me, said, I just see one set of prints in the sand. And the theme of the story was, yeah, but those times is when I was carrying You, and those are My footprints. But I won't say that though there's never a time that He is not with us that are saved, there are going to be times when I believe that it's like our prayers can't get out. We've just about been abandoned by God. You say, well, preacher, don't you believe in perseverance of the saints? Yeah, I'm not talking about our soul salvation. I'm talking about what we endure in this life. Sometimes it's going to seem like you're just by yourself, that even God's abandoned you. Job saw this. Verse 3 of chapter 23. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat. Job said, I don't even know where God's at anymore. I would order my cause before Him and fill my mouth with arguments. Look at verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but He is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job, he looked over here and he said, Lord's not here. He said, maybe He's over this way. And he couldn't find Him. He looked before and behind, and he said, Lord, where are You at? I'm needing You, Lord, where are You? He said, oh, that I might find Him and I'd come to Him. That's like Peter when they were fighting that storm all night and he saw the Lord on the water. I don't criticize Peter. I tell you, I've been fighting storms before, and if I saw the Lord, though I do see Him through the eye of faith, but if I saw Jesus out in that wheat field, I'd run flat run to Him, I can tell you that. And I tell you, Job said, I can't find Him. But he had the confidence still. But He knoweth the way that I take. Amen. Wherever you find yourself, child of God, the Lord knows the way you're taking. Amen. You say, my path seems hard this week or this year. Well, I won't say that the Lord knows that path. Amen. Woo! And He'll be on the path with you. Amen. Yeah, if they had a print of my life, it'd say, yeah, those one set of footprints, that's been the Lord carrying him. I tell you, the Lord's carried us all the way, and the Lord's not abandoned you. You might feel like it. I felt like it. But I realized that He hadn't abandoned me, that He's right there with me all the way. And what Job say? When He hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. Job had some confidence there. He said that when He had tried me, He said, I will come forth as gold. Job knew that though God was trying him, see, when you think about gold and you look at a gold piece of jewelry and you say, boy, that's pretty and valuable. Well, I won't say that if you've seen that when it was dug up out of the ground, it'll have dross on it and it'll look nasty, but they'll put it through fire and it'll make it pure. And I tell you what makes gold valuable. It's the fire that it goes through. Because if that gold doesn't go through fire, it won't be worth a dime. You wouldn't give anything for a gold that comes right out of the rough. And He said, when I come forth, I'll be pure like that gold. Job knew he was coming out of it, it's what he was saying. He said, I'm having a hard time now. I can't even find God. But I've got enough faith in Him that when I come forth, I'll come forth pure as gold. Amen. The only thing that makes our life valuable and things concerning spiritual things, what makes it valuable is the fiery trials that we're allowed to pass through. Amen. Job didn't get bitter during all this. We must fight bitterness like a plague. Amen. Before you know it, you'll say, well, why is it this? Why is it that? Why do I have to go through this kind of physical sickness or financial trouble? Or why does it seem like, I mean, me as a preacher, I say, why is it every time that I preach something or I say something, people want to twist it around the wrong way? I ask that stuff, but I tell you what, the main thing we need to realize is just do the will of God. And if they twist things on us and they turn things around, then just let it be done. See, Job, I'm sure that Job thought, man, I know a lot of people who are living ungodly and wicked, and you know, what's going on in my life, Lord? But he still had the confidence that when He hath tried me, I shall come forth. And I won't say, child of God, every trial we go through, we're going to come forth. It might not even happen in this life. The deliverance might. You take those martyrs, Brother Jim, as our Baptist forefathers would go to the stake and somebody would say, well, that shows God hadn't delivered them. Oh, you don't understand. They got delivered. They got delivered a lot more than just getting out of that deal they were in. They got eternally delivered. Amen. When they got delivered in the presence of the Savior that they were dying amen. For right there.
Amen.
Yes, amen. That's what I'm saying. I'm a winner either way. If I leave or if I stay, we will be delivered.
Amen.
Even if it's not in this life, we will be delivered when we get out of this world. So Job had that confidence. Look in Job chapter 13, verse 15. I want to look at the purest kind of faith that we can have. Job 13, verse 15. The Bible says, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him, but I will maintain mine own ways before Him. That's the purest kind of faith that we could ever see exemplified in the Word of God. Job said, though the Lord, he's talking about, though He slay me, though He's... Job, I believe Job really thought that he was going to get killed before it's over with. I believe that. I believe that deliverance there he was thinking about was maybe not even in this life. He said, Lord, if He kills me, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. That ought to be our faith and our attitude toward the Lord. That though He'll slay me, though, and somebody said, well, how could you love somebody that slays you? I tell you how we can, because we know that all things work together for good through those who are called according to His purpose, and that if the Lord lets things happen to us, that it's not for chastisement, but it's just to bring glory to His name and to grow us in grace, that they are for our good, and if He slays us, we still ought to love Him.
Amen.
You say, is that easy? Not much in this Bible is easy to the old man. But I tell you what, it's good for the new man to think that if He slays me, I want to go out with a testimony that I love Him and serve Him.
Amen.
And that's what Job said, though he slay me, that's the purest kind of faith. I'm talking about after this. What is the this of Job? Let's look at chapter 23, verse 11. Here I see a picture of a saint. A picture of a saint of God who has been through the battle, but he still knows where his standing is. My foot hath held his steps. His way, talking about God's way, have I kept and not declined. Even through it all, I've kept going the right way. I hadn't backed up. I hadn't declined. Even through this trial. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. See, is that ought to be a portrait of a saint there. If you could take a picture of perseverance of the saints and how God is preserving us and we're preserved in him, we see that he didn't decline back in the midst of his trial. See, if the first thing that a trial does is drive somebody to the world, drives you to the worldly music, to the friends of the world, to the entertainment of the world, that could be a great revealer of your condition before God. I tell you what, trials ought to do. It ought to drive us to the Word of God. It ought to drive us to the people of God. It ought to make us want to back up on His commandments. It ought to make His commandments more precious and more, and we ought to feel more safety around the things of God and more comfort. I know a lot of people that when they got in a mess, first thing they did is went back to the worldly crowd. Right. And they wanted to get comfort from the things of the world. But that stuff will never give you comfort.
Amen.
Not lasting comfort.
That's right.
It'll give a temporary comfort. I'd just be like if you had skin cancer and you rub some cream on it. It'll help you for a minute, but you need that stuff cut out.
Amen.
And that's just like the things of the world. And he said, I didn't go to that. I still love his commandments. I hadn't gone back on them, and I want the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That was Job's great desire there. Then I want to look at Job's sure knowledge. Let's turn to Job chapter 10, verse 12. Job had a sure knowledge of the things of God and comfort and confidence in it. Verse 1 of chapter 10, he said, my soul is weary of my life. Job, I believe inwardly, his inward man was just so weary of even living. He said, I'm just about out of gas and my soul's even weary of my life. But look at what he said in verse 12. See, basically all Job is a conversation between God and Satan, God and Job and his friends. They keep going back and forth. Job said, thou hast granted me life and favor. Thy visitation, the visitation of God, hath preserved my spirit. That's how we are preserved. That's how we have life, is that we were visited by God, that He gave us life through Christ, and now we endure and go through trials now and tribulations, but the visitation of that same Spirit visiting us and working in us and helping us get through.
Amen.
Then Job 19. Job 19, his sure knowledge of the things of God. Job 19, 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. It's funny how Job knew all this without the book of the Revelation. He didn't have the resurrection chapter in Corinthians. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job knew about the resurrection even before the Scripture was ever talked about. See, Job said, though this body, we all love our bodies.
Amen.
You think about how hard we work to keep this body comfortable. We do everything we can for this flesh and do very little for the soul. It don't even make sense that we put so much on something that's going to be eaten by worms, and the inner man, we just let it go ragged. God help us all.
Amen.
But Job said, that though the worms will destroy this body, he said, in my flesh, I'm going to see him, and I know my Redeemer lives. And I'm going to tell you, when we go through heartaches and trials, if we'll just remember and know that our Redeemer lives, we got to keep that on our mind, that no matter what happens in this life, that our Redeemer lives, and he's ever living to make intercession for me before the throne of grace. There's one crying out for me, my mediator, my high priest, and his name is Jesus Christ. And though I be beat down, walked on, I know my Redeemer lives, and I can keep going on because I know he lives.
Amen.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, if Christ isn't alive today, then we just wells to shut our Bibles, go to the house, auction the building off, and eat, drink, and be merry. But I don't want to do that because I know my Redeemer lives, and I know he's living for me. I know he's coming back for me, and he's done everything he's done for sinners like us.
Amen.
I know my Redeemer lives, and he will be. I will be with him in my flesh. I'll see God.
Amen.
Then in conclusion, let's go back to Job chapter 42. That was the this of after this. That's my title, after this. Let's look what happened after this. Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job in verse 12 more than his beginning. When Job was at his lowest, I don't think he was even thinking about getting anything else. He just wanted to go on and die or just get some relief. He wasn't even thinking. But the latter end, he was blessed better than his beginning. I'm going to say my latter end's been blessed better than my beginning. Because my beginning was a dead sinner. But my end's a live saint.
Amen.
My beginning was on my way to a place called hell. But my latter ends, I'm on my way to Emmanuel's land. My beginning was that my sin separated me from God, and I was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. But my latter end has been blessed that I'm now brought nigh by the blood of Christ. I tell you, God has blessed me more at the end than he did at the beginning.
Amen.
And that's what happened to Job after this. You say, preacher, what if I lose? We're not all guaranteed if we lost all that God would give us all that back. You're right. But I believe spiritually we'll gain things double, triple, quadruple if we'll not get bitter but allow God to do something in our life.
Amen.
So he lived 140 years. Can you imagine Job was just gasping for the next breath? He never dreamed about another 140 years. He just said, Lord, get me out of this right here. I'm in bad shape. But God gave him 140 more years. He let him see several generations of his children. He gave him some more daughters. And it said in verse 17, so Job died. He finally died, but he died being old, and he died full. What a blessing.
Amen.
It's possible after this, you could die old, and you could die full. That's a good way to die, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, you know, we all want to live as long as we can on this life. And he lived to be an old man, and he was full after this. And you say, well, I'm not going through nothing very hard. Well, I praise God you're not. But unless you die in the next minute or two, you're probably going to hit another hard time before we're out of here.
Right.
But the main thing is to fight bitterness. You say, how do you know that? Because I've had problems with bitterness. Bitterness is bad stuff.
Amen.
It'll get on you before you know it.
Amen.
And then it'll defile many.
That's right.
And I tell you what, the person, even, and if there is such a thing, you might justifiably, in quotations, justify your bitterness.
Right.
Not that you literally can, but stay with me. If you told me your circumstances, I'd say, yeah, I can see why you're bitter. That don't make it right. But you know who wins when you get bitter about something somebody else has done to you? They do.
That's right.
And Satan does.
Amen.
And I'm not on either one of them's side.
Amen.
When you're wrestling with it and losing sleep and sick at your stomach, and they're just a la-la-ing along, you're letting them win. You know the only way I know to get rid of bitterness? He said a root of bitterness. If you go out here and cut, mow a thistle down with the lawnmower, you ain't done no good. All you did is just made it where it'll sprout up, might even sucker out and have more of them. But if you take a grubbing hole and you cut that thing down and dig it out by the root, fill the hole back in and pitch that thing in a bulldozer pile or burn it in a burn barrel, the only way we can get rid of bitterness is cut it out by the root.
Amen.
Find out what you're bitter about. Repent of it. Not when you repent of it, you're not saying, yeah, they're right. They were right by doing me wrong. You're not validating what they done, but you're just admitting what you did wrong.
Amen.
And you get it out through repentance. And the Lord will bless you, and He'll heal that old place. You know, if we could look spiritually, if we could see in here, there's a lot of wounds in this old soul. You know, we've been wounded by this arrow and that arrow. But I tell you what, the Lord will heal all that up. But we've got to repent of it. And it might be a pretty rough scar time you get that bitterness or whatever's in your soul out. But the Lord will heal that up, and you'll be in a lot better shape than you were.